Welcome in. It's the Three Wise Men, everybody. I'm Danny Holbrook, joined by Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. I love your shirt, Miles. That's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. I remember seeing one of these before. Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Nate wore one just like this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's really nice.
You guys look stupid.
No, we don't. We look like we're getting ready to serve coffee at a Dublin, Ireland Bob Evans.
I am all of a sudden craving Shamrock Shakes for some reason. I don't understand why.
Well, it's all the rage.
I'm just going to tell you, it may be on my best thing I saw all week, these shirts. So
how can they not be?
Right.
Yeah, all right. I'm really glad I showed up this week. Oh, you know, you go away for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden...
Oh, that's right, you are on the show. Yeah, I forgot about that.
You were missed, too.
Oh, yeah.
You guys should join the show sometime. My shoulders are sore from carrying it, but you guys got everybody back together.
Danny.
Yeah. All right, guys, we all had a great time at the state tournament last week.
Absolutely.
Look, it's my favorite time of the year, and I got to spend it with you guys. We had a blast.
It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was. I had a great time.
Some great basketball, but the camaraderie was so much fun, too. Sitting there watching games with you guys.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week, because I got to believe the state tournament's right there on top.
And number one, right? It's got to be just a great basketball action. We saw some incredible games. All of them were real competitive, except for a couple. The basketball community, attendance was up. Mr. Holbrook, attendance was up.
Wait, attendance was up.
This is where we drop a clip in because he likes to be a clip dropping guy.
It's going to be the worst attended state championship ever.
Guys, do you think the state championship games will be highly attended? And I just want to start. I've said it for the last 8-10 weeks. I do not think they will. Yeah. I don't talk like a New Jersey housewife.
Well, you did use your old newsy voice one time, though. Yeah,
I said state tournament. No, I will eat crow. I thought the attendance would be down. Now, here's the deal. There were a lot more games.
Instead of eight games, there's only seven.
Right. But I was pleasantly surprised. 6,000 to 7,000 each game. They were great games.
Loud
crowds, couple of blowouts. But yeah, I apologize that I miss.
He hasn't said he was wrong yet.
No.
I was wrong. You know what? I feel empowered.
Put that on a loop, right?
I feel empowered in this shirt. Yeah. I feel like an authoritarian figure. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Nate. Thank you for empowering me.
Do you want sausage, gravy, and biscuits with that?
Yes, I would.
This is the absolute worst.
Fire salad with that, sir?
Oh, my God.
Is it a senior discount?
All right. Other than that, Gator Nichols from Maysville was absolutely fantastic, wasn't he?
36 points.
I don't think he missed a shot all afternoon. He was absolutely hilarious. The fun to watch. Rushi finally finishing was absolutely fantastic.
Seeing
those guys come off the floor and recognizing and realizing they're going to be state champs, that was pretty cool because we were right behind that bench.
Which, this seems like a good as time as any. We might as well just get this out of the way since you mentioned it. Good call, Danny. You went out on a limb at the beginning of the season and said the team that has reached the state tournament 3 straight years and a roster full of seniors are finally going to win a state championship.
Okay.
Way to go, buddy. You called it.
Who looks more smart or who looks more stupid for not jumping
on
the bandwagon?
Did you just say more smart?
No.
More stupider.
Yeah. You guys just... Yeah, Mr. I'm wearing a green shirt.
Now, wait a minute. Let's not forget the 2 weeks where he fell in love with DSJ.
That's true.
And was like, DSJ, go win it all.
No, I don't talk like that. But anyways, it was
you
good.
Did.
It was
you
good
did hedge.
For those 2 weeks.
You hedged for a little bit.
It was good song material. It really was.
It was.
When you say it's a lot more.
Don't do it again, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to sing it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but I did pick it. We can show that clip.
Yeah. No, it was. Look, it was a great story. It was a great pick.
It was.
And, you know, I think it's hard if you're in this area to root against Rushi if you know anything about that senior class, mm-hmm. what they've gone through, right. that program, the history. I mean, it was a great thing to see.
Rushi, number one. One of the other things that was great this weekend was Danny and I, we're talking about Rushi, right? Danny and I are sitting, right?
Got the Rushi headband here, boys.
And one of the Rushi assistant coaches comes over and is like, hey,
why do I come on the show? You guys are on the Three Wise Men, right? Why do I come on the show?
He started and said, hey, are you Danny Holbrook and Miles Holiday from the Three Wise Men? We're like, yeah. He goes, I watch your show every week. You're awesome. You pick us.
Yeah. And then he looks at Nate and says, are you with them?
Why? Why do I do this? They wear these shirts.
Why do I even come? I left for 2 weeks. I had obligation. I was sick. I had a coaching obligation. Why did I come back?
We said, yes, he's the other guy on the three wise men. And then Brad Francis was the coach. And he goes, Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep, you're right. That was definitely nice. One of the greatest things we saw this week.
And then he gave me a headband.
Look at that.
You are practically part of the team now. Ooh, yep, the headband is a staple.
Looks like
John McEnroe, don't I?
Why are you covering your eyebrows with it?
You know what it actually reminds me of? What's that? Reminds me of the old 80s movie with Michael J. Fox, Teen Wolf.
When he had
the headband on. And everybody in the stands had one on. It was a pretty cool visual.
And none of those actors could shoot or play ball at all. Yeah.
How do they let a wolf play? Well, anyway. But the other thing my last thing, Danny, is, as you guys are aware, we're racing your son on April 12th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, racing Michael Garlock.
For some reason, we're doing this.
More buffoonery.
In front of the Wolf Boom Studios at high noon, right after Out of Bounds, we're racing him. And the training that we're getting from Apollo Creed at the Lima Beach has just been outstanding. Yeah. I want to personally thank Apollo Creed because we're getting faster each time we work.
But after the race, you owe me a favor. Ding, ding.
What is this
Rocky
show
three.
Anymore? No, I, yeah, we get it. Oh, my goodness.
You're
yeah,
up. The third
hard,
wise man.
Hard act to follow here. For me, honestly, the number one thing was being down at that state tournament. It was my first time ever down on press row, getting to experience the game, you know, from that vantage point, being down there amongst everybody and all the basketball talk and the observations. And, you know, we were next to a couple of guys from Lyman News, and there's news outlets from all over around us. And just that environment was really great. I really enjoyed that. It was definitely probably the highlight of the year.
Yeah,
for
it's
me.
Really cool.
And getting the chance to be down there with you guys and kind of being able to take what we do on the road, that was a special moment. So I really did enjoy that. You know, coaches' press conferences. I really enjoyed going into the coaches' press conferences, even if they were one of
the
losing
coaches.
Even the losing coaches. Some of them gave
those
some really inspiring speeches that they gave after they lose. They have to go in there and they talk about their teams and all the things. And I really enjoyed listening to that. I know Danny really enjoyed it as well. So it was nice being able
to leave one early.
Those were a lot of fun. And then, you know, outside of high school basketball, fellas, March Madness.
Yeah.
March Madness started this week, right? One of the greatest times of the year. One of my all-time bucket list items is being out in Las Vegas for the first 4 days, starting on Thursday, and just being in one of the sports books and watching games from noon to, you know, or actually 9 a.m. out there. I think that would, you know, March Madness is this entity all to itself. Whether you do bad or whether you do good, there's all these stories. It's all this drama, all these great basketball games. It's so much fun. I always love this time of year. High school winding down. March Madness getting started. You know, we get to carry this right in, and then baseball's right around the corner. And as a Reds fan, I can't wait.
Next week, right? Or no, Thursday.
No, Thursday. Opening day is Thursday. Yep.
Guys, for me, several things, a lot of the same thing you guys talk about, but some of the players we get to see, when you see a special player like Gator Nichols, he's never going to go on and play college basketball, probably.
And that's his
not.
Real name.
Right, it's his real name. But for one day, he took an entire town, county, school district, put it on his shoulders, and he scored 35 points, and he won the state. They won the state title. He was amazing.
He was absolutely
amazing.
Terrific.
They have no seniors on that team. I'm sure they're going to be back next year. They're that good. The other thing, too, is when you see a special player like we got to see in Jason Singleton from a Columbus Academy. His dad played at Ohio State, Jason Singleton Sr. He's now the AD at Columbus Academy. He's special. He's a junior. He's already got
Jake Diebler needs to get on him.
From Nebraska and Creighton. We was talking to some other guys, some scouts down there, and they said, look, this summer he's just going to blow up, and he will be Big Ten material. He's a Big Ten player. He really is. Now, is he a superstar? I don't know, but he's special right now in high school.
He was a superstar
that
game.
Superstar then. And my favorite team I saw was Westerville North. They were incredible. They had 32-0 fast break points. They run and jump. They play that style where he's got 10 athletes that are so much better than your athletes.
Perry had no chance.
Yeah. No. And Western North had a kid who was a McDonald's All-American nominee, which is kind of cool. And the other thing, too, is, and it is kind of self-boasting for all three of us, but we had so many people, and Nate, you were there Saturday, Miles and I were there Friday. We had so many people come up to us and say, hey, love the show. Love what you guys are doing. Not just us, but love what the station is doing for high school sports.
Us.
Yes, all of us.
Hey, you're with them, right?
All of us. Hey,
it's
was
where
cool.
Your hand only went like a little bit, right?
Yeah, we had a guy from Columbus Grove who came up, and it was really, really made me feel good. He had his son with him, and he said, look, my son and I watch you guys every week. week. We love it. He said it's funny, it's relaxing, it's what we like in sports. And we had several people come up and talk to us about that, and yeah. it was fun.
And
it was
he
fun.
Even said to us, "You ever think about wearing a green shirt?"
He did. Yeah. He did.
It's weird.
And then after the game, after the Rushi game, Coach Brad Francis came up and gave me this, and he said, "Hey, man, this." And it was sweaty when he gave it to me. It
was. He was really sweaty.
He was really sweaty.
He was really fired
and
up.
And he said. He looked at Miles and I, he goes, "Any chance I can get on the show sometime?"
Absolutely.
So we'll get him on here.
We'll introduce you.
It'd be nice to meet him, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, guys.
It's interview time, and we have the champions. It's the Columbus Grove Girls Division VI State Champions. We're joined by Coach Brian Schrader, Nicole Nesby, Kendall Palti, and Lauren Ockmody. Guys, girls, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Let's get right into it. And, Coach, I got a question for you that has nothing to do with the state championship. All right? I want to know what was the best part of this year, and you can't say the state championship. That's the easy answer, right?
Yeah, that's a tough question.
Well, it was a tough opener, right?
I guess seeing this group of players mature into the confident, veteran group that they were, I thought they really played poised and got better each and every week of the season. At the beginning of the season, it was a little bit of a question mark in terms of we knew Lauren was an incredible player. She's our only senior, but every year you graduate seniors, there's a little bit of a leadership vacuum. So with having only one senior, how is that going to get filled? Because the best teams are always player-led teams, not coach-led teams. And it was awesome seeing Lauren and our juniors step up and fill that void.
Well, for our viewers that don't know, they're going to know now, you were the WOSN Three Wise Men Coach of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Lauren was our Player of the Year. Congratulations, Lauren.
Let's talk
about this season for you. You know, Player of the Year, and today you were named to the Division VI First Team All-State Player of the Year. You got to be thrilled, right?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of emotions that go behind all the time and the work you've put in to get to this point. But, you know, none of it would be possible without having Coach Schrader be there and, you know, Coach Weisenberg in junior high and everyone else I've had, along with all the players I've played with, to push me in practice and, you know, make me the player I am now.
Well, we've got to see you guys the last couple of weeks at the radio station here. It's no wonder you guys get along so well. You're great to be around. Is there a lot of camaraderie on this team? I mean, it has to be some really good feelings between all the girls, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially with we play like other sports with each other. I know like a lot of the soccer girls play with each other. And then, you know, me, Kendall, and Lisa, I'll play volleyball. Then we come together for basketball. And it's just really easy to get along.
Coach brought up a great point, and it's true, right? The best teams are the ones that are ran by the team, right? The players inside that locker room that control it. How difficult is that to make each other accountable when maybe someone's not doing the right thing?
That's a tough one. It kind of just depends on the day. You know, there's some times where it's easy for one of us girls to get mad at one or another, and it's easy for us to, you know, say, "Hey, you're not doing this right," and it's easy for us to correct each other, whereas there's other days where, and, you know, most of the days it's just a giant family, so it's kind of hard to correct the things that need to be corrected, but we try our best to keep each other in line.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people, you know, coach too, is as coaches or players or spectators, they don't quite understand locker room dynamics, right? At the end of the day, families fight. Right? It's impossible to spend as much time as you guys all spend together and like each other all the time. It's just not going to happen. You know, I tell my kids, you know, there's going to be days you don't like me. There's going to be days I don't like you. And there's going to be days we don't like each other. And that's fine as long as when we get back, we get through it, we work together. And I think that's what makes great teams. The ones that can have those disagreements, right? You guys can fight or argue or be upset or get after one another, hold each other accountable, but it doesn't derail what your goal that you're working towards. And it seems like that's what you guys have here.
Yeah, I think a couple things come to mind. That's a great point. I think, you know, they lead by example. So when you're practicing really hard every day, you're going to make mistakes. But, you know, they really lead our younger group with bringing a hard hat to practice each and every day and making sure they're focused for scouting reports and things of that nature. I think, you know, it's just unbelievable coming into practice, the amount of intensity and the level of focus that they have. And it's a 20-week season. It's a really long season. Yeah.
Coach, when you guys take the floor for the state championship game, and right before that you're in the locker room, can you share with us what you said to these girls? Or was it one of those Gene Hackman-type Hoosier speeches? I talked to you about this a couple weeks ago, and you said you weren't really sure what you were going to say. Can you share that with us? If so, if you don't want to share, that's great. But I sure would like to know, because whatever you said, man, why'd they come out on fire?
You know, I don't remember specifics. I remember I told you at the time that I say a little prayer and just ask the Holy Spirit to give me the words that I need to put them in a good position to start the game well. And I think I just said trust, you know, trust in the talent, trust in all the work that you put in to get yourself to this point. And you're the better team, and just go out and show the state how good you are.
At one point in time during that championship game, did you guys kind of look at each other and say, we're better than these guys. We know we can win this.
I think really at tip-off we thought that, because, you know, we got the tip-off and we got, you know, Kendall scored right away, and then we got a defensive stop right away, and we kind of knew, like, hey, if we can do this every possession, then this game is going to be an easy win if we just keep playing how we have the first 20-something seconds. And sure enough, it was 22-2 in the first half. Right. So, you know, as we scored more and we got more stops, it kind of just – settled in a little bit more, and you know, we had less adrenaline pump, and you know, it was more of a, this is just any other game, it's not a state game.
Hey, Coach, real quick, 22-2 was it at one point in time?
20-2
at one point in time, all right. As a coach, are you like, oh no, there's a lot of time left because that's a huge lead, or were you just kind of like, all right, we're really good, we're gonna win this thing?
I'm a worst case scenario type of guy. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, I've been on the side of it where we've been up late in the game and kind of have let one, not recently, but early in my coaching career.
No lead's ever big enough.
Yes. Yeah. So it was probably two and a half, three minutes left where it's like, okay, we've kind of answered, you know, every run that we've gone on. And I think we're pretty good. And just going back to, you know, you asked them, when did they feel that they were the better team? They put in a lot of film work.
Yeah.
You know, we use Huddle like everyone else, and you can look at, you know, your team's video activity. And it was unbelievable this year, the amount of hours that they put into film, especially obviously as you get further along in tournament, you know, it's a little more exciting, and you're not as familiar with some of the teams. So, you know, I think they had a pretty good feel for what Rootstown was like going in, and felt very confident in how we were playing.
So I'm curious, and I'm even more curious if your guys' answers will be the same. But obviously, you guys have had a lot of success in your careers. Obviously, the state title this year, you know, deep postseason runs. You guys have been playing together for a long time, especially in a small community, right? You girls have been playing basketball together for a long time. At what point, as a coach and as players, did you guys kind of understand this is a special group, and this is a group that could win us a state title?
I'll let them answer. When did you guys get that feel?
During the summer, kind of.
So it wasn't until this summer that you really thought that this group could win a title?
I mean, like, I thought about it, but it really hit me this summer that we could do it. I mean, we have, like, camps in the summer or whatever, and we didn't have everyone there, and we were still playing really well together. Mm. And then when everyone got back, I mean, it just clicked. Like, it was just like last year.
What about for you guys? About the same time, or was it before or after?
I think maybe, like, the first day of practice. Like, I remember being, like, so amped and ready. Because I was, like, so excited to, like, play with this group of girls.
What about next year?
Hold on
year?
A second. Oh, yeah. When did you think?
I think, you know, when Lauren was a sophomore and they were freshmen, I kind of, you know, obviously you take it one year at a time, but you always have your view on, man, you know, when Lauren's a senior and these freshmen are really, really athletic and they're pretty talented, I think that could be a special group. And I kind of knew then that I thought that that had a chance at being the most talented team that I would have coached in 12 years. You know, you never know if you're going to catch the breaks along the way. But I would say, you know, Lauren's sophomore year, their freshman year, I knew that this could be a pretty special season.
And that's why I was curious, because, you know, as coaches, let's kind of get caught looking ahead sometimes and go, we know we got a group here. If we do things right, this could end, you know, very special. But sometimes, you know, as players, it takes you guys a little bit longer sometimes to kind of get in that same mentality. But it obviously came together right around the same time you thought it would. So
let me ask you, and you're out of this one, all right? Mm-hmm. So next year, you got a pretty talented group of girls coming back. You're losing the Division VI Player of the Year, maybe the best player to ever walk the halls at Columbus Grove. Who fills that void?
I mean, I think collectively we'll have to fill it. But, I mean, we need to find someone to take care of the ball, like with ball security. But, I mean, I think we have a good group of girls who can score pretty well. So I don't.
I never saw anybody take it away from Nicole.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So when you look at the state semifinals, right, and when we go back to the game before, you guys are playing in Elida. You got the home crowd. The gym is full. It's a great atmosphere against a team that you're familiar with, and it's a different environment. And it was a tough game. I mean, that was a defensive heavy, you know, a lot of pressure, a lot of stuff going into that game. You know, and at times, you know, obviously everybody knows about the final shot and everything, how the game ended. But to me, what stood out the most as we were calling that game was there was no panic. There's a lot of teams that may have a superstar player that have one person that everybody knows the offense will run through or whatever it's going to take. But if that person gets shut down, the team falls apart. What I thought that night was the most impressive thing for your team was that even though they were clamping down on Lauren and she wasn't getting nearly as open or as many looks as she was used to getting, everybody else stood up. Kendall, you had a fantastic game. I mean, your sure defensive did. Energy mm-hmm. kept those things going. Underneath it, on the inside, what you were doing, Nicole, the whole team as a whole, you could see there was no panic. There was no, well, I guess this is it because Lauren's not getting shots. Everybody just kept doing their job. And then, obviously, you know, it ended how it ended with you guys finally being able to get into that state championship game. But, I mean, that seemed to be the staple of your team, Coach, was that everybody knew their role. They accepted their role. They played within themselves and just trusted that if they did that, things were going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, we were down 8-2. You know, I kept telling the girls, we want to make sure we throw the first punch, you know, in tournament play. And you know, credit to Minster. They threw the first punch that game. I mean, they were clamping down defensively. We had really no offensive rhythm whatsoever. I think we ended up with 16 turnovers in the first half. So we were really struggling. But instead of worrying about our offense, instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, they really dug in defensively. And even though we weren't scoring and doing much offensively, we were still holding them to, 8 points a quarter or whatever it was. And we were doing what needed to be done on the defensive end to give ourselves a shot in the second half. And like you said, they were poised and they kept grinding away. And, then we went up 7, they tied it. We went up 7, they took the lead. And thankfully, Lauren made the play at the end.
You know, but that's not an easy thing to instill in your team either, right? Where everybody just accepts your roles. You know, everybody likes to be, you know, getting the headlines or have their pictures or do the interviews. It's a hard thing to get, you know, kids at any level to accept, hey, this is my job and this is my role and I'm going to play in this. So I'm just going to trust this is all going to work out. You know, for you guys and for you, Coach, like how has that been? You know, you guys have obviously had to come in. You guys know what your roles are, what you're going to be great at, and you guys work at that and it all fits. You know, what have you had to do, Coach, to kind of get them into that mentality? And for you girls, you know, what's it been like, you know, knowing, hey, this is what I need to be to make sure that my team can succeed?
I think it's that we just have really unselfish players that care about one thing, that they want to win. And, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes to win. And I think it goes back to their families, frankly. I mean, just families have instilled the character and values that they need to put the team, the family, above themselves and whatever their role is, whatever it's needed. Now, we talk to them about, you know, hey, Kendall, we think you can be a finisher at the rim. You know, Nicole, we need to make sure we work through you. And if somebody's in trouble, you got to be a pressure release. So we do, as a coaching staff, talk to them individually about what we think they need to do to maximize our potential as a team, but they still have to accept it, right? They still have to be willing to fulfill that role, like you've said. And I think it just is a credit to their unselfishness and how they were raised with their families. And
was it difficult for you guys to kind of accept those roles, or is it just felt natural kind of fitting in where you fit in on the teams?
I guess it just kind of like felt natural, or especially like that's what I kind of go back to. Maybe if I'm not having like the greatest game or maybe like the greatest half, I always think maybe my shots aren't going in or, you know, but at least I can like talk on defense because that's something that doesn't really require like, I don't want to say like skill, but.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, I want to talk to you real quick about your style of play. Love the fact that you guys are a pressure team, right? Where did you come up with that philosophy? Who are some people that helped you come up with that philosophy? And ladies, playing that style of defense and turns into offense, how much fun is it to play in that system?
I'd say doing our press, you know, a lot of us girls enjoy it. Yes, it's tiring, but we're all very energetic and very outgoing. So, you know, we're not afraid to tell coach like, hey, we need to back it off one or two possessions. We're getting kind of tired, but, you know, we have a wide variety of girls that can pressure the ball and get steals on the other end to win pressing. So I think that's just one thing we all kind of enjoy, and it's just something our team was naturally talented at.
Who doesn't like easy points, right? Coach, how'd you come up with this?
Yeah, I think it comes down to two things. Do you have the personnel to do that? Mm-hmm. And what sort of scheme do you want to implement? And so we felt that obviously we have a very long athletic team. We have a rim protector in Nicole. We have a dynamic point guard that we need to keep on the court a lot. So we just felt going the zone route where we could keep Nicole in the center and protect the rim and get rebounds, allowing Lauren maybe to play a wing, which isn't quite as active in the way that we play our 2-3 as the tops, kind of allowed us to do those things. But everyone's got to work really hard, but our top of our 2-3 especially has to get after it. We tell Kendall and Ruth Myers and Elise Fortman, you know, if they got the ball at the top, you got to force them to dribble the ball or pivot away from the rim. Nice. Like, you have to. You cannot let them just look and survey. You have to make them uncomfortable. A lot of times our top two girls, Kendall, like you said, Ruth and Elise, are covering four positions. Typically, teams will go like a three-guard alignment.
Right.
And then they like to fill the high post. So we're demanding two girls essentially to cover four positions. Mm-hmm. So, and it's you know, it wears them out, but Kendall's length and her speed and like I said, Elise and Ruth just do a phenomenal job of that.
And communication's huge, right?
Yes. And the back line, I tell the tops, you're not going to have to communicate a whole lot because you're just basically pressuring the ball. So the communication comes from Nicole in the middle, being able to see everything, you know, and then our wings have to communicate to the tops. And I'll go back to what Nicole said. We do talk about, you know, you always have to ask yourself in terms of roles, what can you do when things aren't going well on the offensive end to help your team win the game? So maybe you're not getting a lot of post touches. Maybe you're not hitting outside shots. You know, maybe Kendall's not finishing at the rim, but what are other ways that you can help this team win? And they just do an incredible job of that.
Lauren, I want to go back to the state semifinal game against Minster. Last 20 seconds of that game, when you had that ball come down the court, did you know he wasn't going to call the timeout? Because all three of us are going, is he going to call that timeout? Is he not going to call the timeout? What a great play you made. But there was other parts of that play, too, that were just as important. But did you know you were going to take that ball to the rim?
Originally, no. You know, he's taught us scenario and situation times when, you know, there's not a lot of time on there and you need to get a stop or you need to get a score. And so, you know, with 20 seconds left, he probably thought, you know, this team can get a shot off, and if not, I'll call the timeout. And so, you know, I crossed half, and I kind of looked at him, and he just looked at me. So I was like, okay, obviously we got to do something. We've practiced this hundreds and thousands of times in my 4 years of, hey, there's 20 seconds left. You got to make a play, whether it's you or getting a shot off. If we have to, we'll call timeout. And so, you know, I kind of just took it into my own hands and, you know, drove to the basket. And if it didn't go the way I wanted it to, or if I had to, I was going to kick it out to someone. But, you know, the layup was there, so I took it. And it's just something he's prepared us for since the beginning of the year.
And I'll credit Lauren for, at the beginning of the year, I thought we were settling a little bit too much for threes. She has an incredible step back, and she can kind of get to that anytime she wants. And I, you know, told her, as you know, come tournament time, I want you to be more forceful and get right to the rim. You got to get to the free throw line. And, you know, she had a moment where she could have maybe taken that, but instead she faked the step back, got to the rim, and made nice. A great play.
What she said was, that's the one I'm going to go back to, that look that you guys gave each other. That's mm-hmm. a lot of looks, right? That's a lot of coaching and playing, right?
Understanding what the other one wants without even saying
it. That's where I get choked up, right there. Yeah. That when she said, I gave you that look, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I'm not going to draw up a better play than she is as a player. So we just felt in a scramble type situation that, you know, and the players are really, really good at spacing and getting to the right spot. Right. So, you know, credit our other players to getting to the right spot and giving Lauren room to make a play. And she made a play.
Now look, that was a great offensive play, but let's talk about defensively. What you guys did on that last defensive possession against Minster was you locked them down. They couldn't mm-hmm. even get anything up. Did you know what they were going to go to, or you kind of just had a feeling? And because talk to us, the lining up defensively right there, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't want to get out of our 2-3 per se, but obviously we wanted to extend our pressure a little bit to try to work a little bit of clock, and so they couldn't just bring the ball into the half court, maybe call a timeout and go to a sideline out of bounds play or run a quick hitter. So we had Ruth and Kendall extended a little bit. Obviously, we talked about guarding the three-point line. Right. I think it was they were on your side, weren't they, Lauren, where you know, they got it to their post player, and Lauren did a good job of just staying vertical and not allowing her to get a good look on that.
It was great.
Yeah. Toughest part about this year. You win the state title. There had to be some tough part. What was the toughest part about this year?
Practice-wise or game-wise?
Yeah, it's up to you. You tell me what was the toughest. It's a long season, right?
Yeah. I'd say probably the toughest part is, you know, losing to, like, OG and then Audeville and then having to come back the next practice and, like, regather and, you know, get back in the rhythm of things. You know, there's things that he wasn't happy with. There's things that we weren't happy with. So, like, obviously.
Somebody's a happy guy. Look at that. He's one of my favorite coaches. So,
obviously, yes, we could have played a lot better than what we did in the two games, but we also left it all out on the court. And so there's things that we needed to fix, and there's things that we had to correct and change for the next games, which we did. But, you know, there's always that one practice where it's just no one likes each other and it's just running happens. The whole time.
It happens, yeah.
So it was probably one of those practices
we have
where
shows
we
like
just
that.
Run.
How about for you girls? We toughest part of the year.
Yeah, I agree with her. Probably that rough patch where we lost two games there. I mean, we all kind of felt a little defeated. I mean, no one likes losing.
Do you guys think like I do, like the worst practice of the year is that first one after Christmas? It's like the worst practice.
It's Christmas and
it's
Thanksgiving.
New Year's.
It's New Year's.
It's New Year's. All the holidays.
It's like he gets to go enjoy his food, and then he's like, sweet, let's go run this year.
says the senior who's not coming back this year.
I love Coach Sherry.
Nicole's like, I'm not going to say nothing.
How about for you, Kayla? Or excuse me, Nicole.
Probably like the practices in between like our tournament games, especially like coming back and staying focused. Because, you know, like, if you lose, you know, you're done. So it's...
Yeah.
I mean, I'll talk about... I always try to make practices harder than games.
And absolutely.
And that's really hard to do sometimes, you know, when you're playing really, really good teams. But you find unique ways of doing it, whether you add a JV player. You know, you're playing 5-on-6 or 4-on-5, or you bring a scout team in. And so, you know, you try to find... creative ways, I guess, to make practice as difficult as possible. Scoring, you know, JVs get... you know, triple points or something like that. Mm-hmm. So a challenge as a coach is try to continue to push them because it is a grind, but at the same time, know when to kind of pull back a little bit because it is a long season. One of the toughest parts of the season for me, and I don't know if I told him this, was after the Audeville game. We had actually been a man-to-man team all the first half of the season, and then we had experimented with the 2-3 in practice, and it looked really good. And then Audeville played Kaleida, and it was a really tight game. I thought Kaleida had a really, really good game plan. They played them in man, and I thought, man, we're you know, just as athletic, probably more athletic than Kaleida. I think our man defense is as good or better than theirs. So I kind of went back and forth, and we played them all man, and I kind of regret that decision. you know, and they played really well. I mean, let's tip of the cap to Audeville. They came out, played dynamite, they hit shots. You know, they're a really, really good team. But as a coach, you always pride yourself on trying to prepare your team and put your team in the best possible position to win. And, you know, if I could go back and switch that, I could. But it ended up working out all right long term.
All right. So other than him blowing that game, what's coach's
they're,
best?
They're finally saying, yeah.
We got to stay tight. We can say this stuff now.
What's coach's best attribute? What is it that you love about playing for him?
Honestly, I feel like we're more prepared than most teams. Like he puts so much effort into like practice planning and like just outside of practice. Like I know during tournament season, he sent us like huge messages about like times to sleep in the day and like if you want to take a nap and like what you should eat. I mean, he cares much more than most coaches do. And he always has a plan.
Can you send those texts to Danny?
I like to nap.
Yeah. He really struggles with his nap time.
What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm going to have to like agree with Kendall on that one. It's like you feel more confident when you know like someone else is confident and like has a plan for you. It's really nice.
I mean, same thing with him. He always no matter what, he has some sort of time frame, whether it's, you know, after practice, during school. He tends to do that a lot sometimes in his free time.
We'll talk to the principal about that.
He'll put together, you know, practice plans. He'll put up all the film, all the different things we need to work on, and, you know, all these things that other coaches may not think about, and the small little details, and, you know, sends it out to us. You know, there were days during tournaments where he didn't think he had enough film watch. So he had one of our class periods was free period where you literally, I just sat and watched film with him because he wants to put as much time into basketball and winning and getting further than if he would just, you know, hey, here's your film, go watch it.
It was a stats class.
Miles is going to ask you some questions here. He's going to rapid fire. But before we get to that, I've asked Lauren this before, but I'm going to ask you two, all right? I ask everybody that comes on the show this. The one team you really enjoyed beating the most this year?
Do I have to answer this again?
You don't. Well, I know your answer, but yeah, why not?
No, they can answer.
Crestview. Yeah, I mean, losing them to them last year twice, but especially in tournament, I mean, it really stunk. I mean, no one wanted to lose that game. We really prepared for it, and I mean, we thought we had a good shot, and so winning against them this year, I mean, it felt good.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna have to agree with Kendall on that, Crestview.
And I think that's just the respect we have for their program, too. Oh, I mean, they've had such good players, and, you know, Coach Gregory does a tremendous job over there.
All right, I have six rapid-fire questions, three for the ladies, three for you, Coach, okay? I'll start with you, Coach, on the first one. Silliest player on the team, who is it?
Ruth Myers.
Did not waste a minute there.
Well, Ruth's not here to defend herself.
I know. What's so silly about Ruth?
I don't, you know, I'm not in their whatever they do in the locker room, but I've just heard that she's pretty goofy. She has a contagious smile. She just has such great energy. So, she's the first name.
We say the same thing about Nate.
Yeah. It's a heavy crown to wear.
All right, ladies, who does the best impression of Coach?
I'm honestly, saying Lauren.
Yeah, probably Lauren.
Lauren, you're graduating.
What's he going to do? He can't make you run anymore. It's
fun. You want to give us a little taste of it?
No, I'm good.
Does he have words he says over and over? Anything like that?
I think they make fun of the. I'm a hand
talks
talker.
With his hands.
I'm a
You're
hand
doing
talker.
Good today.
I know. I'm actually clasping my hands underneath the table.
Proud of you, Coach.
And then it's like when he's the most mad at us and he's yelling at us, he'll always use like really, really big words.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll come back in the locker room and I'll be like, what does this word mean?
We don't have to worry about that with the three wise men. We don't use big words.
No, we not smart. All right, ladies, who's the best dancer on the team? Oh, that's a tough one.
None of
them. They don't spend a lot of time.
They must not be very good.
We don't really dance, though.
Really?
Not really.
No TikToks, no nothing.
Does Columbus Grove like Footloose? Not really. You're not allowed to dance until that. They don't know about Footloose.
No. All right. No answer?
No.
Okay. No. Well, Danny, you're going to have to go there and teach him how to dance.
I'm going to break dance.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Best part of winning the state title?
Seeing the players, just their celebration and being a part of fulfilling their dream. You know, this was a dream season for them, so it just felt really good to be able to experience that with them and share that with them.
Imagine how good it would have been if had you beat Otterville too, right?
Thanks for your one and only appearance on Three Wise Men. All thoughts and opinions are Miles's and Miles's alone.
All right, ladies, whose parents were the most obnoxious?
You mean other teams, right?
Nate, we need to clear these questions.
Because I know your dad pretty well.
That's why he does book.
Okay, all right, I got you. All right, got you. So no moments where mom and dad were just a little bit over the top. Okay, I got you. You can tell me off the air. Coach, last one for you on this one. If winning a state title was food, what would it taste like?
Oh. Lasagna.
Lasagna.
Nice. Oh yeah.
I bet it's got to be Chipotle for those things. It's got to be Chipotle.
Chipotle is a state title.
Pretty good.
Regional's got to be McDonald's.
Do you need technicals this year, Coach?
No. I actually have never gotten a technical foul as a varsity coach.
I like how he said varsity.
I had to clarify that. So when I was a JV coach, I got one back
some
in the day.
Some learning technicals.
So only one.
All right, ladies, last question for me. Obviously, everybody knows no two teams are the same. It doesn't matter if you return everybody, if you lose everybody. Every year, new team, everything can be different. What are you guys going to miss the most about this team, this year, what you guys accomplished together?
Everything. I don't know. Just being able to, like, and, you know, some practices may not be the best, but we still go in the locker room and, you know, there's obviously Ruth tries to, like, enlighten the mood because, you know, she's the funny one. But, you know, just being able to, you know, talk with each other after practices and, you know, regain energy and, you know, even outside of practices, in practices, outside of school. It's just everyone has a chemistry together and it's just, it's fun.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kendall.
The team just has such a strong bond. I mean, we're always with each other, like during practice and then outside of practice. But I'm like losing Lauren. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, yeah, she's a big part of our team. And I mean, I get one more season with her track. So, yeah.
What about for you?
Yeah, definitely just like the team chemistry, especially with like, I know sometimes there we'll have like the rough practices. Sometimes we all just like go in the locker room and we just kind of like look around and we like can start laughing. So we know it's like, it's not going to be the end of the world. You know, we just got to come back tomorrow focused.
I guess for me, it's in you guys mentioned everyone learning their roles. You kind of think as a coach that, you know, this is where our team can get to if everything works perfectly, you know, and seldom does that happen. And this was a season where it did, you know, like Lauren did what she needed to do. Kendall became the player that our coaching staff thought she could be. Nicole just kind of dominated the paint at the end of the season. And you could go down the list of all seven players filled their roles perfectly. And it was just like the perfect storm where that's it. That's what I thought this team could be. And it was really cool to be a part of that and see them accept hard coaching. You know, they've mentioned the rough practices, but they're willing to accept hard coaching and grow from it. And we became the team that we envisioned we could be this year.
Well, ladies, coach, from all of us here at WSN, congratulations on
absolutely.
A great season.
Yes, absolutely.
It's been an absolute pleasure covering you guys all year. You guys are fantastic. And it was great getting to know each of you. And thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for covering us. You guys do an incredible job.
Let's talk about that Marion local game and that Rushi game. Let's start with Marion local. I think all of us were a little disappointed. We all thought they would win that game. And I think
we all picked them.
We all picked them. And look, I think we would all agree they did not play up to their potential. We've seen them play much better.
They just picked their worst time to play their worst game, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, just in all facets. Anytime your point guard turns it over nine times, it's going to be tough to win. They had 16 total turnovers. 34% from the free throw line, 14% from behind the arc. And we kept watching the game and saying, all right, they're within six. As bad as they played, they're still within six, right? But they just could never get over the hump.
Well, we talked about the defensive pressure of Marion Local, Nate, and we figured that that defensive pressure would turn into offensive points. Mm-hmm. But give Monroe Central credit. They handled it like a champ.
Well, and, you know, we talked about Monroe Central being able to hold on to the basketball, and that was mm-hmm. going to be a key. We didn't talk about Marion Local needing to hold on to the basketball.
Right.
And they had a ton of turnovers. They just – I was shocked how – caught off guard Marion Local was by the speed of Monroe Central.
They
got hit in the mouth right from the beginning, and they were playing on their heels the rest of the game, and they made a couple of runs. They got close. You kind of thought maybe they were going over the hump, but then Monroe Central come down, they'd hit a three-pointer, and they'd push it back out, and it was just one of those things where, you know, Marion Local could get close, but they could never just close that gap. And, you know, not to take anything away from the season they had, it was a great season. You know, it would have been awesome to watch a little bit of history, as they would have just been the fifth team to ever win a state and basketball title in the same season.
Wow.
Yeah,
starting to get smarter with this show.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, but you know, gotta give your hats off to Monroe Central. I mean, obviously they came in as the underdog. Not a lot of people probably outside of Monroe Central picked them to win that game, and they believed and they got it done.
You gotta give a lot of credit to Tucker Howell, their best player, best player in school history. Right,
yep.
Didn't get double digits in scoring, but rebounded nine times. six assists. I mean, he found ways to still help his team win. And then Corbin Farnsworth, how good was that young man against Austin Niekamp? It was outstanding, 12 big points in the first half. So just one of those tough nights.
Maybe my favorite story of the tournament, when I was prepping for that game, reading about Monroe Central, and the local movie theater in town was live streaming it, the game back to the movie theater.
That's really cool.
For people that couldn't make the trip over. That's such a Hoosiers, man.
That is awesome.
And then we look at Rushi, guys. I hope, all right, the ONU coaches, the Bluffton coaches, the UNOH coaches, somebody recruit Dom Francis.
I didn't understand that, right?
It's amazing.
How's that kid not going somewhere?
He is 6'6". He's not their best player, but he was really good. He needs to play college basketball.
I thought he was their best player on the floor that day, right?
Oh, that day, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
21 points, didn't need a ton of shots, 6'6". How many block shots did he have? Like 3 or 4, rebounded like crazy.
Played fantastic.
He was outstanding, and he really set the tempo for those guys. I'm with you, Danny. I don't know how he's not going somewhere to play. Yeah. If you took an all-star team of everybody that played in those 7 games, he's definitely on it.
Oh, without a doubt, absolutely.
Braylon Gordonu, he had a great game, and that was a true small-town story of kids staying together for every year of school and working and persevering, and they got knocked down twice in the state tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, they came back their senior year. They lost their coach to a tragic car accident.
That's a good point.
I mean, it was just an unbelievable message to everybody that it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down, just keep getting back up.
I mean, it's if somebody wanted to make that movie, they could.
Yeah.
I mean, it writes itself. And for them to be able to cap it all off together as a team with that senior class with a state title, it's poetic.
Yeah. Guys, we talked about it already, and I admitted I thought the attendance would be down, but it was absolutely great, 6,000 to 7,000. Mm-hmm. Should the OHSA be excited about that?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I think for people like me who think that this move to separate semifinals and finals on different weekends and in different venues was a bad idea and didn't like it, the attendance isn't going to help us, because the attendance was good.
Yeah.
And if I'm the OHSAA, I'm looking around that arena and, hey, we're full. The only things that aren't are way up top in those upper sections. Those are the only empty seats I could see. The boxes were filled. Everywhere you looked,
that's where the money's made, right?
It was, it was a fantastic, I know that I have been very critical of the OHSAA in this tournament.
All of us have.
But I got to give them credit. It felt like a big deal on that day, and reflected it.
Did they kind of get lucky, though, because they had communities that love to go support their schools? I mean, what if they had some fringe communities that aren't known for taking a ton of people there? What would the attendance
be?
Well,
I think they also had luck because you got some of the – typically the bigger schools don't carry as many folks as the small-town schools. But they had Cincinnati Aiken, Division II, 45 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
Easy travel up 75.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Honestly, when I looked out every game, I thought there was more than 7,000 people.
I did too.
I did too.
Yeah, I thought it was like 8,400.
It cost
one time.
Me. Yeah.
it felt like 10,000-12,000 a lot of games.
It sounded like it.
Yeah.
The
sure
volume
did.
Was really good. Yeah. People were enthusiastic. Not always yelling correct things, but they were yelling.
Correct. Yeah. What did they get right and what did they get wrong? The OHSAA I speak of.
Yo, so I what I think they got right, and I got to give them credit. I walked out of there on Saturday, my first time down in Press Row. This is the first year of the expanded divisions and all these things. And at least for Saturday, you guys were there Friday, I wasn't, but at least Saturday, it felt like they got it right.
Yeah.
It didn't feel less than. It felt like a state championship atmosphere. It felt even better than it did when I was there watching OG, last year, watching them play from the stands. It felt like a big deal. And that's kind of what my soapbox has been all year, is I felt like they had made this less than.
Mm.
And at least for Saturday, it didn't feel less than.
I
got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, it did have a big time feel. I tried to put myself in one of those young men that got introduced with the lights out and the excitement, getting your name called. And boy, it just had to have goosebumps, right?
Yeah.
If you're one of those kids getting introduced, because it was such a big time feel. It felt big time on Saturday. What they might want to reconsider, though, is they got to do something about concessions. How do you only have 3 people working at a concession stand when you know there's going to be 8,000 to 7,000 people there?
Yeah,
it was a little bit of an issue. I said to Nate at one time, it's like they were surprised that so many people showed up.
Right?
Oh, we got to get food to these people. There were some people that were not happy. But if that's your biggest problem, things went really well.
I just love the... I would love to see it back in Columbus, but the way Dayton does it, they're fantastic. The parking is tremendous. You and I parked.
Skippy did a great job.
And I parked 30 seconds from the door. We had a friend who had, you know, we help him into the games, but the people treat you great. The tickets are easy to get. The people inside of the venue are awesome. The concessions are reasonably priced. They're not overbearing. Yep.
All the workers are super
all
friendly.
All the workers are super friendly. They do a great, great job. I wish it was a semifinals, finals weekend.
It's
not. Yep. That's what I want to see changed. But I understand. You're right, Nate. That is a great point. It felt, and I, you know what else? I talked to a lot of coaches, and they took their kids down the night before and got the hotel stay, mm-hmm. and still did a lot of that stuff. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to change it.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
Because I don't think they'll change it. I don't think they'll change it from state semis and finals being on the same weekend. What I really still hope that they figure a way out is that those state semis, whether it's guys or girls, are not played in high school gyms. They have to fix
that. I agree with you on that.
That has to be fixed. Now, whether we're ever going to see it on the same weekend again, I based off of what it looked like attendance was, and I'm sure revenue and all the things that, you know, in the overhead that come into this, we may be fighting an uphill battle with the OHSA on this one, but you know, at least this year for the expanded seven, I felt like they at least got the state championship games right.
Do they make those figures public?
Oh, I'm sure
they have. They have to.
Okay, that'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah, do you think so? I think we've already answered that we don't think they're ever going to go back to the Final Four.
I'd be shocked if they went back to Final Four.
Just with the success they had. All right, who was the best player you guys saw this weekend? I think I've made mine clear. Jason Singleton from Columbus
Academy. That's a great pick. He was absolutely fantastic in a losing cause. But Gator Nichols, to me, that guy was just everything he put up in the air was just going in. You could just see it. He was having the time of his life. Just one of those, you know, whatever his address is, just write the zone because he was in it and it's going to get to him.
There's only one player that made my jaw drop when I watched him and some of the things that he did, and that was Kwasniak. Some of the shots that he made, I mean, he would just take a step over half court and take a shot, and it would be going in. I mean, when you look at him, nobody would look
very unassuming, right?
Yes, and be like, oh, this is the greatest scorer in the history of Ohio high school basketball. Yeah. That's just not what you would think when you
tremendous
just saw
finisher,
him.
Not just
but
a shooter.
When you watch him play, I mean, he finds avenues, he found ways to get to the lane, he made it look effortlessly. He had great touch from behind the arc. He made one shot falling out of bounds from beyond the three-point line. I have no idea, one, how he even managed to get the shot off, let alone have it be accurate and go in. Yeah. I mean, it was fun to watch.
He was a lot of fun to watch, wasn't he? Just one of those guys that for about a five-minute spurt in that second quarter, you're like, I don't believe what I'm watching, right?
Yeah, it was incredible.
Big three, fall-away three. He just dominated that basketball game for about a five-minute span.
He had that nice lead, and he comes down three trips in a row, and you're thinking, there's no way he made it. And unbelievable. Yeah, like I've never seen the two shots he made from the logo are the farthest shot other than heaves at the end of a quarter or the end of a game. And I kept thinking, why is he – what is going on? Who was it sitting beside me said that he thought the clock was going down to zero and there was 4 minutes left.
I thought the quarter was coming in.
John Cook said that too. It honestly felt like when you're at an you watch those guys on the sideline at an NBA All-Star game and they're falling over each other like, oh, can you believe you just saw that? Yeah, it was just like crazy. That.
Guys, what was your favorite moment from the weekend?
My favorite moment was just being with you guys. You know,
It's a cheap out, but it was mine too. It was just being able to be down there, the three of us getting to watch, talk basketball. You know, we were able to get on the edge of the floor, get a photo together, and just being able to kind of be down there. That's what that weekend has always been. That was one of the reasons why so many people were so passionate about it changing, because to them, that's what it was, right? It was going down. It was the friendships. It was the just being together, right? Like being able to be there with the people that love basketball and love the sport and celebrate it. And I think that's why you saw such a visceral reaction when it got changed, because people felt like something that they cared so much about taken away from them.
Yeah, it was so much fun. We did the pregame and postgame wrap-ups with Mark Schein, and that was so much fun doing that with them as well.
Yeah. Guys, what will we eventually see in the state finals? You think any changes are going to come to the finals?
I know one thing for sure that's going to happen. We're going to see a shot clock at some point in time. And don't be surprised. And it will start with the state finals. You'll see replay instituted at some point in time, because the state finals, OHSA broadcasts are right. You have that capability. And they want to make sure the right team doesn't get cheated out of a state championship. If you have that tool, Why not use it? I could see it being a next step, something that you use in state finals.
So I don't think shot clock's going to come in, because I just think it would change It would change. I hope it does. It would change the game so much that for it to come in just for the state tournament, I just don't see that happening. But I do think.
Do you think it should be included? Period, though. Start it during the regular season and make sure it's part of it.
Listen, I can tell you as a broadcaster and as a fan who's been at some games that you're just like, come on, this thing needs to go. Shot clock be nice. But I can tell you that there have been a lot of games where you're talking about teams that could be – that stayed in games that maybe they shouldn't have been in or made it a game that they shouldn't have been in because they can just hold the ball and it was a strategy. And I mean, sometimes strategy comes into play. I can argue it both ways. I don't know. Just know that you can't bring a shot clock into a state final when you haven't had it all year. Like, you just can't.
Well, I'm with you on that. It started at the beginning of the year, right? We have to have the shot clock at some point in time because we all romanticize, Milan and Hoosiers, and they upset the big school, and they took care of the basketball. It's boring, right? It's boring.
Well, at the time, it was pretty exciting. I mean, the cars went 35 miles an hour.
Have you watched that movie? It was super exciting. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
But I go back to being at Shawnee against Sandusky, and Sandusky dribbled the ball for a minute and 41, and Shawnee had to wind up. That's not fun. That's not. Nobody's enjoying watching that, right? Put the shot clock in. It works in Division III basketball in college. You can't tell me it won't work in high school.
No, I agree. But I do. I mean, I think the shot clock's an overarching one. For the state final itself, I do think that we will see instant replay.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the broadcasting part of it, right? What's the one thing that happened in the state final that doesn't happen in any other game all year long? Media timeouts.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So you have this extra stoppage already because media timeouts only happen in state finals. Yeah. They don't happen any other game. Yeah. So that's why I think that you could see instant replay come into state finals because they're already used to the extra stoppage anyway. That would be a pretty unencumbersome add at that point. I don't think it would change a lot of dynamics. And ultimately, you would get calls right that you needed to get right in the most important game of the year.
It was interesting to watch how different teams handled the media timeouts.
Yeah.
You know, some teams would just stand around and look. Others guys would take some time to get breaks. It was interesting to see how they would adapt to it. Some didn't. They just kind of stood around. Huh?
Do you guys think NIL will play a part in high school sports?
Oh. And
luckily you laugh, but I'm telling you.
I don't.
I've talked to some people in the know.
The Ohio legislature said it couldn't.
They did. Right. But I've talked to some people that said it has been broached. That subject has been talked about.
Yeah, they have. And when they sent, a couple of years ago, they sent it out as a referendum for high schools to vote on, to whether or not the OCHA was going to adopt NIL. It got voted down. Schools don't want to see it. ADs, I don't think, really want to see it.
Who wants
Nobody wants to introduce money into high school kids at that level. Right, wrong, or different, whatever your opinion is. I don't think that it'll be something that we see, at least openly, in high school sports.
Yeah. Guys, Cam Elwer got second in the voting process for Mr. Basketball. Does he win it next year?
I want him to. I would love it.
No, I would love it.
But, I mean, look, could he? Absolutely, right? He sure can. He is more than talented enough to what he does on the floor. I mean, obviously, he already got a ton of attention and for being from Delphi St. John's in Northwest Ohio and to be second, tremendous. So his name is out there clearly.
Right.
But unfortunately, he finished runner-up to a guy who's also a junior.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to think that going into next season, the defending Mr. Ohio basketball will be the favorite.
Well, who's to say that he goes back to Garfield Heights, though?
That's what I was going to say.
Right, right.
Who's to say he doesn't go to IMG Academy?
Right. Well, there's that.
And there's this, too. Cam Elwer has a clear path to become the all-time leading scorer in the state of Ohio.
He
can pass Turtle Kwasniak.
Well,
and now he's going to and we say he's got to average 30 a game. Okay.
He
did 20.
Well, he does. Yes.
Well,
right.
And you're right. And you would think that would get you – favored, right? But what did we hear on Saturday about Kwasniak in Mr. Ohio?
Well,
right? Like their votes didn't go that way.
Dad would have voted for him.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this. I thought he was a fine player. I really liked Quinn Kwasniak. But of those six guys on the Mr. Basketball nominee list, he was not better than any of those six. You're talking about a kid going to NC State. You're talking about a kid going to Ohio State.
He was fun to watch.
He was one of my favorite players to watch. Yeah. But I don't think they got that wrong.
I'm not either. Yeah. My point is, though,
Cam
taking that number one spot over it doesn't guarantee him that he would be Mr. Ohio anyway. Now, if he averages over 30 points a game, it's going to be hard to deny somebody with his other talent level that he has.
He leads him to a state title.
And, and if Marcus ends up leaving and he goes somewhere else, Yeah. I mean, is it
the savior of Ohio State basketball, by the way.
He's really good.
He is really good. I like him
really
a lot.
He's really good.
But the thing about Kwasniak, though, right? Tremendous offensive player. The great thing about him defensively, he's a tremendous offensive player, right? He calls outlet a lot. That's what he does on defense. He's just a great offensive player. All right, so I'm going to do this, right? You know how Danny jumped on Rushi early, right? He was on the Rushi train. I'm calling DSJ in the state finals next year right here.
Wait a minute. In the state finals or winning the whole? I took Rushi and said they win it all.
State finals isn't enough for this man,
no,
huh?
Because okay. I went out on a ledge. I walked to the
Grand Canyon. Right.
Except for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you went on a real.
I jumped over the edge.
So, you want me to go an extra step? DSJ wins the state title and Cam Elwer, Mr. Basketball next year.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, this is one of the times where
Send your letters of support to
support. I hope that we're running this clip this time next year.
Absolutely, right?
Okay,
great.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, too.
All right.
I'm going to say.
Come on, Mr. Headband.
Okay. I'm going to say that Lima Land has two Mr. Basketball nominees because I think one is right over in Indian country.
Beckett Berkey.
Yep, I think he is a fantastic. He is going to be so good next year. He's going to get Division I scholarships. They got a shot to go back to state. I think he's going to get some votes.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, what's your prediction?
That I'll be sitting here next year still making fun of you two in these stupid shirts.
I think these shirts are nice.
Stylish.
Did you notice how when we put these on, we got smarter? We started making projections and predictions and all kinds of stuff?
I feel my hairline receding. Yeah.
You know what? Let's do this. Let's give Nate a segment. Let's give him his own
segment.
You want
your own
segment,
Nate?
Yes.
It's been a tough day for you.
It's called Tough Show. Nasty Nate.
Nasty Nate.
Take it away, Nasty Nate.
What a horrible name, first of all.
It's a great name.
It's a terrible name.
Your name.
It's an absolute terrible name.
You're your segment.
Now listen. All right, so listen. You guys are always complaining about how angry I get about things. I don't call it anger. I call it passion. All right. The thing.
See him off air.
That's for a piece of soup coming at you.
Listen. This week, what I'm passionate about, we already talked about it. Opening day is on Thursday. Okay.
Baseball.
Yeah. Baseball, Major League Baseball opens up on Thursday. I have been going opening day since 2000. It is a tradition. I love everything about it. I'm not going again, but that's not why I'm angry. Okay. I love everything about it. I opening day, I think, is one of the greatest. I usually take the day off
on
a couple of days that I or a couple of years that I've had to miss for sports or something like that. I've taken the day off. I stayed at home. You know, get my Skyline chili.
You
I get the
sick.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so what I'm angry about is, and this has been going on for a few years now.
You're talking about
and
us it making clearly, fun of
you? No. And clearly, this isn't gonna go back. I cannot, for the life of me, stand. That Cincinnati, the heart of opening day,
right,
where it all started. They are opening day. Decided that for some reason, first pitch needs to be at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It
makes no sense.
It used to be noon. We had the parade at 10 a.m.
Right.
It went through the
parade.
It went through the whole city. You had all these block parties going on. You
Shotsy.
Had all these things going on. It was fantastic, and it led you right into first pitch.
A parade.
You would walk right into the stadium. First pitch, noon, first game. It was fantastic. It was the way that baseball season was supposed to start.
Pete Rose and Charlie Hustle.
And then they decided, you know. Let's go to 4.
Yeah,
we'll go
stupid.
To 4:30.
Yeah, because it's gonna be warmer.
It is so. It doesn't matter. Listen, I've been down there when it's been 80, and I've been down there when it's been 20
Shut
degrees and
mouth.
Snow.
Doesn't matter.
Weather does not matter. It is the time. It is the tradition. Stop ruining our traditions.
It's terrible.
Right.
Paper.
Right.
Game
right.
starts at 4.
Right.
First pitch at 4:05.
It's ridiculous.
I feel
it's
like
just
she's warming
ridiculous.
Up here.
Yes, go, Nate.
Yeah.
Go,
Come
baby.
On.
Go.
Release it. Yes.
What do you guys want from me? It upsets me. It angers me.
He's going to be asleep by 4:05 because he eats dinner at 4:30.
But I'm not. It is absolutely unreal that all of a sudden, in their great wisdom, a guy who said, where are you going to go as an ownership to his fan base decides that, let's just continue to make things not, you know, fan favorite.
You know what Mark Shaw would have said?
Where are you going to go?
That's what she'd have said.
Sound like
Mick. But as she's petting her dog and winning this World Series, you know what they've got us? Nothing.
That's right.
Absolutely nothing. And then when you want to talk about the town of Cincinnati, we finally got our wide receivers.
Yeah.
We signed them. Yeah. We got our offense is intact.
Right. Wait, I thought this was supposed to be nasty.
And then the more you read about how they structured these contracts.
Terrible.
Like crap. How'd you get this so wrong? Everybody else who's looking at it going, you guys, you know you could have done it this way and still had plenty more money to fill teams this year, right?
Oh, they messed it up.
Yeah. And they made it horrible.
Oh, no.
And I don't know what's going on in the town of Cincinnati. all of my faith has to be in Tito. It has to be in Terry Francona. He's going to have to bring some sensibility. And I think the greatest thing that he can do starting next year is convince those people in the front office to move first pitch back to 1205.
Bring back WKRP to Cincinnati.
Do you think we should?
Yes.
Okay.
Get something to calm the boy down. Nate, he's struggling.
My blood pressure is at a very high rate.
We're going to go to the emergency box.
Thanks for shutting the alarm off. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Here it is. Oh. Do you need one or two? You okay?
No, this is a twofer, I think.
Two little Debbies. Yeah. All right. There you go.
The blood pressure's going down. The cholesterol's going up.
You sure? Not a third? You want a third?
No, I'm okay with two. I'm okay.
All right. Well,
congratulations.
Let's put the emergency little Debbies back away.
I think we're okay. I think we're okay, guys.
Calm down.
Wow, you got really red.
Scared.
Man, it's weird. You know, you would think that this would be odd, but for some reason it feels very soothing. Yeah. Receiving food served to me from people wearing shirts like that.
Yes. Thank you.
Is this all on one, sir?
Yeah, take your time because I've got your wildfire chicken coming out. So. Wow. All right, guys.
Nice job.
Yeah,
nice
segment.
Yeah,
I
do.
I feel good. You know what? I've been holding on to that for a long time. Right. It did feel good. It was cathartic.
Nick, you can put the defibrillator back.
Because there's nothing like an old man complaining about what time something starts. Listen, that is the epitome of reaching
your
age.
You're going to get me super
angry. When we played baseball in 1923, we started our games at 12:15.
What an Abner double day is going on.
We had cottage cheese and potato chips for supper.
Okay. Frank Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it. Guys, who's your Stolle superstar?
Easy,
right? Stolle sensational team of the week. I know who you're going to pick.
Yeah, it's got to be Rushi, right? Well, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
Rushi, number one.
Yeah, I mean, it's Rushi. They won the state title this week. They capped off their story. It's Rushi. There's
it's
nobody Rushi. Else.
It's Rushi.
And no, Dominic Francis, right?
And I agree with you on that one, too.
Dude, dude was a stud.
He's soothing.
I know. Look,
it's the oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Throw the cream pie at him. Good job. Good job.
It worked. It worked better than it should have. I'm not going to lie to you.
All right, guys, since we're all happy now, let's talk about something that'll depress you just for a while. Buckeye basketball, local man.
I told you guys they wouldn't make the tournament. Yeah, I told you guys.
Wait a minute.
I told you guys. I said, you guys were convinced they would make the tournament, and I told you they wouldn't.
He's lying.
And roll the clip, Nick.
He's lying.
Yeah. There's that. Austin Parks, St. Mary's graduate, spent 2 years at Ohio State, guys. Yeah. He is moving on. Look, Miles and I have disagreed about this in a friendly way. I said I really felt like there was a place for him. I didn't say he was going to be a superstar, but a 6'10", 260-pound kid who can catch the ball in the low post, I felt like he would develop a little more than he did. He hasn't developed like the Buckeyes thought he would.
Now, I do have a question about that because I actually kind of agreed with Miles. I wasn't sure about Austin Parks going to Ohio State. Tell me the last big man that they developed.
Terrence Stiles.
Terrence Stiles. Yeah,
Terrence Stiles.
That's a really good one.
Big player of the year.
Okay, what year?
Yeah, no.
That's my point. Yeah. Like Ohio
was already developed.
Ohio State doesn't have this tradition, at least here in the last couple of decades, of developing big men down low. That's just not what they've been doing. And unfortunately for Austin Parks, he just kind of became victim to that as well. He has size. He's a big guy. He has a post game, but that's one. Basketball's moved away from the back to the basket type player anyway. They're not developing these big guys anymore anyway.
I'm sad it didn't work out. I wanted Austin Parks. I bought the NIL sweatshirt with Parks on the back. I had that, wore it to the Purdue game that we went to last year.
He played good that game.
He did. It wanted him to work out for him, but just could never really get solid minutes.
Yeah.
You know, he'd get like 10 one time. You're like, okay, maybe he's going to turn the corner, and then he'd sit the next game, maybe get 2 minutes. And it just never seemed like he ever got a fair shake, especially this year. I hope it works out wherever he goes. It'd be interesting to find out. Where do you think he will go?
Yeah, for me, I think there's a couple places. I think you look at Bowling Green or Toledo, and it really doesn't really fit in Toledo with the style they play.
No.
Bowling Green, more of a fit. But I know it's a step down as far as divisions, but I think he'd be an absolute beast at Finley in Division II. I don't know that he'd consider it, but I think maybe that's a place. I don't know that he fits in with Anthony Grant's style at Dayton. They get up and down the floor a lot.
Zach Key played there, though.
Yeah, he did, but he's a lot more athletic than Austin Parks was, and he's 6'7", and he can come out and he can knock down a jumper. Austin's never going to come out and knock down.
He did in high school, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, a lot of it, I think, is going to depend on what Austin is looking for the rest of his basketball career, right? Is he if I think one of the best things, if he thinks that basketball is going to be something that he plans on doing for a while, even beyond college, and whether, you know, I don't think right now we're talking NBA, but, you know, maybe you're talking overseas professionally,
that'd make big money.
For sure. He needs to go somewhere that's going to develop him. And if that means he needs to go somewhere in Division II level and then work his way back to D1 or wherever it may be, I think that those are his best path. I think right. He'll have a lot of suitors. When you're his size, yeah, with his skill yeah. level, there's going to be a lot of
not
teams.
Not a lot of 6'10 guys around.
No. And there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want to come and get that skill level. For him, I think it's just going to ultimately come down to what his future plans are for himself and where he thinks he'll develop the best.
Hey, very easily, maybe go to a Finley. Put up great numbers, get in the portal again. You can make money in college,
absolutely.
Right? You could be that next guy that someone says, hey, he's our answer in the post. Let's throw him a lot of money.
Well, yeah. I said this earlier on the radio show today. You're looking at NIL, what it's doing to college basketball already. There is not a team above an 11 seed that made the Sweet 16. The big boys are going to start bringing in yep. all the players, and that's where the money's going to go. And it's really going to hurt college basketball. I could be wrong, as I was with the attendance at the OHSA.
I think you'll still see upsets. Though.
You will, but you're not going to see true Cinderella.
Well, but
you're not
going to
see 16s over one.
George Mason.
Ones will be dominant.
Tell me the next time that you think that you'll see an NIU with a five starting seniors. Team who have played together for four years.
Maybe a mid-major.
It's not going to happen because those guys are going to – oh, even if they have one good year, someone's going to swoop in because these college coaches, they're not going to keep taking chances on high school kids. They're going to go and find developed guys who they know can handle college and the workload and the basketball because their jobs are – dependent on it.
Yeah, that's a good point. As long as I don't have to see that sister from Chicago, remember that? Yeah. So I don't have to see her again. I'm all for it.
Guys, more news coming out of the University of Michigan, out of Ann Arbor. Just corruption.
Bunch of cheaters.
Well, look, we are all Buckeye fans, and we're not shy about that. Yeah. But this is the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion.
I agree.
I think this is going to blow the lid off them. This is some serious stuff. This is a coach on the staff who is...
Matt Weiss.
Eliciting some films and some pictures and some all kinds of stuff of people in the university, of men, women, whoever. This is big news, guys. I said it earlier, Dan Dawkins said it may be the most corrupt program he's ever seen in college.
Well, I mean, for how long it's been going on is the other thing, right? Because I think a lot of people were just thinking, oh, this just goes back the last couple of years with Jim Harbaugh and all the things that we knew with, you know, stealing signs and all, you know, all these things. This guy's been hacking for a decade.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. And not just that, but getting practice film. You know,
medical reports
of the teams are going to play. They found gambling cookies on there. So you're wondering if they took some of the information, making some side money also on gambling. Getting Ohio State's practice video and having that on there.
And then the invasion of privacy because you saw personal photos and different.
Well, he's got news from this morning.
Yeah, two Jane Does filed lawsuit against the University of Michigan and Matt Weiss because he had access to personal photos that they were trading.
Yeah.
So unbelievable story coming out of the University of Michigan. Guys, to wrap it up.
Well, hold on real quick. Let me ask before we get out of here. That's a huge story.
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen? What do you think the punishment for something like this would be?
I think it's going to be really
as a program.
Look, Ward Manuel last week was on TV, and he was talking almost brazenly about he didn't have any news about their prior investigation, and he wasn't sure what was going to happen, and the whole cheating scandal. The NCAA was going to have no choice but to put the hammer down on these guys because they're going to uncover so much stuff, I believe, in my opinion, that this is – I'm not saying death penalty. They're never going to do that again. But you could see bowl bans. You could see NIL money taken away.
Vacated wins.
This is huge. This is going to take some time to sort out. Again, unfortunately, the NCAA moves at the speed of, you know, snails. But
you got to think that the NCAA knew about all of these allegations of this investigation prior to this indictment coming out. I mean, because we're not talking about the NCAA putting out, you know, their allegations and saying, hey, this is what they're charging. This is federal crime.
This is
a long investigation that come down from the feds.
Nate, what has and I'm being all serious? What has the University of Michigan done in the last year and a half that shows you any remorse about anything?
No, I'm not even talking about that.
I'm just talking about the NCAA in general with their head in the sand, acting like they didn't know that a federal investigation was going on into this program.
Bring that up is the NCAA's got to look and be like they are thumbing their noses at us. I mean, come on.
Sorry. So you go back to the last. last death penalty at SMU, right?
Right.
You weigh that against what Michigan has done, it's far more severe. Unfortunately, they're not going to give Michigan a death penalty.
They
Why?
Won't do that again.
No, tons of alumni out there, right? Well, tons of alumni there.
And you also
media.
Saw what it did to that to SMU. SMU right. didn't come back from their death penalty until you Last can start year. Paying. So you can start paying players so, again.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Good point. I'm not sure though what you can do that's going to be severe enough, because even if you say we'll take away scholarships, it doesn't matter with NIL. No. You can have walk-ons that sign your NIL, and that's going to pay for their school, right? So I'm not sure how the NCAA is going to figure out a way to correctly punish Michigan, taking away the national title. I mean, okay, everybody still has their hoodie, right? Everybody still knows, but it's not going to really be that big of a deal.
I think at some point, and I don't even know if they can do it legally, but you would think that the only way anymore that you're going to be able to actually punish programs is you limit their NIL money allowment.
But then it becomes the SEC from the 80s.
Yeah, like here's another shoebox if this guy drops
hey,
by.
Hey, I can't give you this money legally, but if you go over to McDonald's, there's a guy waiting for you.
And maybe, but at least they have to go back to doing it behind closed doors again, right? Because right now, I mean, what was the one thing that we all talked about with Bryce Underwood? How much money he was going to get.
He got a lot.
You can't do things like that anymore if all of a sudden there's been a cap on what you're allowed for your NIL because of your discipline.
Buckeyes are having spring practice this week. It's week two for spring practice. Biggest story for the team from, you know, our point of view is the quarterback battle. It's a three-man race. It's Will Howard's no longer there, but Julian Sand is the basically the what I'm going to say, the favorite to win it. You've got Tavis St. Clair.
Right?
Yeah, the five-star freshman. And Lincoln Cleanholes, the young man who they're going to play this out because they don't want Lincoln to transfer.
Nate, yes, exactly. Nate, don't get upset.
This is the same. Same line you
Eat
fed
your
me.
Little Debbie.
I'm upset that they wait and wait and wait and wait, okay, because they want to keep Lincoln Keenholz. Otherwise, you're just going to have a freshman as your backup, and they don't want that. They want Lincoln Keenholz to be the backup quarterback.
Can we get our makeup girl to bring a cup of milk out for him?
Listen, listen, I you know.
But Julian Sand's going to win it.
Yes.
I agree,
and
there's also
him.
0 point to wait to name him. Julian Sane does not have to go all summer wondering if whether or not he actually has this job.
Oh, he'll know. Right. Everybody knows.
You go out and you tell everybody. No, then because then if he knows, then Lincoln knows.
No, he
and then this whole facade you're talking about.
You can't tell Lincoln.
Then that's ridiculous.
No,
that is ridiculous.
No, it's the way it is.
It's ridiculous.
Unless you want to go into the portal and get somebody else.
It's ridiculous. There's no reason for us to continue to
wash my hands of you, man.
And to answer Chris Howell, I will be angry if it is the week of week one
against
and they haven't named a starter yet. Then I'll be right
it
back where I was.
It worked last year. They won an Natty.
Nature, well, I mean, you're going to be angry when the tulips come up at Easter.
He will.
Yeah, it's just you're scaring me.
Well, if
right
they
now.
Smell bad.
You're scaring me right now. Eat your little devils.
I will say this, though, Nate, okay? He's got the most impressive quarterback tape that I've seen since when I coached against Ben Roethlisberger.
It should be. Yeah, it should be him. We don't need to wait. This game is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You have a quarterback. He's your quarterback. He's your guy. Name him, and let's move on. And if Lincoln bounces, then get in the portal and grab yourself somebody else. It worked when you brought the Kansas State.
There's not a lot in the portal.
Yeah, well, you brought a Kansas State kid over, and it worked out just fine. We can find somebody.
It's not that easy. You have to play the game. You have to. Lincoln Keenholz has to believe he has.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this week's episode of The Three Wise Men. It has been another great episode.
He already had his nasty segment.
He did,
trying to
right?
Bring it back
come on, open one of these.
Thanks for watching The Three Wise Men here on WSN.